What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Peter McCormick hosts the What Bitcoin Did podcast, and he also is the brand new owner of Real Bedford, a football club in the UK. Peter comes on and he talks all about his plans for the new team, how he's going to adopt the Bitcoin standard, and why he believes he can take them from the 10th level of the football division all the way up to the English Premier League. This is an absolute insane dream, but if there's anyone that I'd bet on, it'd be my friend Peter. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation, but before we get into this episode, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is LMAX Digital, the number one institutional crypto exchange. They offer clients the deepest pool of crypto liquidity on the planet, underscored by 100% uptime track record through volatility spikes. They leverage LMAX Group's liquidity relationships and ultra-low latency technology. LMAX Digital is the market-leading solution for institutional crypto trading and custodial services. If you've never heard of LMAX Digital, it's probably because you're not an institution. They have no retail, only institutions. They feature a central limit order book streaming spot Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash, all paired with US dollars, euro, and yen. LMAX Digital. They're secure, they're liquid, and they're trusted. Learn more at lmaxdigital.com/pomp. Again, lmaxdigital.com/pomp. Next up is Compass Mining. Compass Mining is the world's largest marketplace for mining hardware and hosting. With Compass, everyone can mine Bitcoin. Their team makes it easy to start mining wherever you want, at home or in one of their 23 hosting facilities around the world. Through the Compass Marketplace, retail miners can access mining hardware with similar prices and purchase plans as the world's largest mining companies. Compass miners own their machines, they choose whatever mining pool they want, and they mine directly to their own wallets. Miners who don't want to host their machines can order ASICs directly to their doorstep. Simple and low-cost hosting agreements coupled with best-in-class customer service are the reasons why Compass is the simplest and most popular way to mine Bitcoin. Start mining your own Bitcoin today by visiting compassmining.io. Again, compassmining.io. Go check them out and let me know what you think. Last but not least are my friends over at OKX. Crypto is all about democratization and freedom of choice, but many companies limit their offerings to centralized trading products. The crypto companies leading the pack in terms of innovation are those that extend access to the industry's cutting-edge products and services, bridging CeFi and DeFi. If you're searching for a platform that reflects crypto's promise of a more open and less restrictive financial future, look no further than OKX. On OKX now, you can easily switch over to the new DeFi mode. Connect OKX's bespoke Web3 wallet via browser extension and start exploring opportunities at the bleeding edge of crypto. From the DeFi dashboard, you can monitor your portfolio of self-custodied assets across a range of blockchain networks and generate passive income from yield farming with top DeFi protocols. In the NFT marketplace, you can participate in exclusive drops and trade non-fungible tokens without secondary market fees. Meanwhile, the GameFi section is your portal to the latest and greatest in play-to-earn and blockchain gaming. Venture to the forefront of crypto innovation and connect with OKX DeFi today. Again, go check them out at OKX. That's where you can find OKX DeFi. All right, let's get into this episode. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Walk us through, when you buy the team, what does that come with? Is it like you get player contracts, there's a field that you own? Like what exactly comes with the deal?
Yeah, if you're buying a Premier League team, but this, you're buying the name, you're buying like whatever leases they've got on the ground and any equipment. But it's, you know, we're in the 10th tier of British football. You know, the infrastructure is minuscule. Really, you're just buying the setup. There's no real assets apart from like the equipment, but you're not really buying that. You're just buying the name and the infrastructure that's already in place, which is easier than setting up a. If you start a team, you have to start below that, which is the 11th tier.
Okay. Now, when you talk about being in the 10th tier, the EPL, that is the number one tier.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're 9 promotions from the Premier League.
How hard is it going to be to get from 10 to 1?
Good question. Right, I think it's the way I've thought about it, because I only ever thought I want to get in the Football League, which is That's Premier League, Championship, League One and League Two. And that's known as the Professional League. So we are six promotions away from the Football League. That was the original target. And then I spoke to an investor who said, well, how do you get in the Premier League? So I think it's... So I thought about it a lot. And there's kind of two stages to it. Stage one is get to the Football League. That really is about having, you know, you've got enough money, you can get the best players and the best manager, and you can make it through those leagues. Now, these clubs operate on no money. I mean, the budget for my team for this year, the team to run the club was £15,000. None of the players have played. I've already, in the first week, I sold managers a budget, then go and get the players. I think our turnover this year will match a decent League Two team. Therefore, we've got good budgets to spend on players and managers. So if we can continue to run this as a successful commercial business and we have the right team in place, we should be able to get through those early divisions. Let's say we do it, Pomp. Let's say we get into League Two. How do you go from League Two to the Premier League? You know, you need real money and real infrastructure, and that's expensive. And so my view on this is, you know, it's quite a bold one. And I want to do something nobody will understand in football. You'll get it. I want to raise £50 million, and I want to put that in a Bitcoin treasury that we don't touch for eight seasons. It just sits in there. You know what? Bitcoin does its thing. By the time we get into the Football League, we'll have quite a war chest to work with.
All right. How much money can you make doing this? So let's say that you bought the team. I don't know. Have you said how much you bought the team for? Is that publicly known?
No, that's not publicly known. And okay. Part of the term, yeah, I agree. Not
okay, so we'll say that it was a good deal. I trust your negotiating skills. How much money can you make if you make it all the way to the EPL? Is that like a couple $100 million a year?
No, listen, look. For me, this isn't about making money, Pomp. If this was about making money, I wouldn't actually raise any investment because I can generate close to $1.5 million in profit with this team this year. And I can do that, you know, most seasons and just pocket that money. But it's not about that. This is about doing something for Bedford, where I'm from. Like, I'm in this fortunate position where I can rally this army of Bitcoiners to get behind it. I want to do this. But fair question. The only real money is in the Premier League, right? And if you get in the Premier League, you get access to the TV money. And it's about $150 million a year. So, you know, that's a decent amount of money that you get just for being there and being on TV. Now, if you create a club that's in the Premier League, you know, you have a club that's worth possibly anything from, I mean, I think Newcastle just sold for like $300 or $400 million.
So the reason why I'm asking about how much money you can make is because I'm thinking about making an investment, coming to Bedford and say, I own part of your team. You know that guy, no, Peter? You're, he's the prince of Bedford. I'm the king of Bedford.
You're going to make an investment for sure. I'm going to make sure you make an investment. But this is also, I think there's two things that are at play here, Pop, that can work well. I can do something for Bitcoin that benefits Bedford. I can do something for Bedford that benefits Bitcoin, right?
Correct.
So we can leverage the Bitcoiners to get behind this, which allows Bedford to have a really good commercial model and be successful. But we can leverage Bedford for Bitcoin because if this is successful, you know, if in terms of advertising, you talk about things like a category job. You know, think of the ads that DCG do. Their ads aren't really about DCG. They're category ads to promote Bitcoin. You know, if we run this on a sound money standard, I make this work. This does a category job of explaining Bitcoin to football people as well. So I think there's like this symbiotic relationship.
All right. So if I think about this, just so people at home make sure that we understand here. Peter's bought a team in the 10th league. He's basically putting it on a Bitcoin standard. He's going to raise a bunch of money. He's going to buy Bitcoin, put it on the balance sheet. He's going to improve the team. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the team continues to move up, get the promotions. And then eventually, by the time that you get towards the top leagues, you've got a war chest, which helps you get better managers, better facilities, better players, etc. And it's all because of the Bitcoin standard. Now, Peter, you hold on 1 second. Keep driving. Don't crash. Joe, when we think about these English football teams, how big can this be if he's able to capture a global audience versus like one of the smaller teams that just has more of a local audience?
Well, if you can turn into a Premier League club, you make a lot of money relative to the 10th league for sure. But it's obviously hard to do. Otherwise, everyone would do it. I think working your way up is obviously one sustainable model. But these teams, like Peter, I'm assuming there's not much of a global audience now, right? It's super centralized to Bedford. So if you have the ability to go out and reach all the Bitcoiners around the world, that creates a lot of opportunities for you guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look, in the first week or 2 weeks of doing this, we already got like 10,000 followers on Twitter, which is already more than the local rivals. I've had 50 people register to run international supporters clubs. I've got people from Ghana, Australia, all over the US, Turkey, New Zealand, people who are saying, we want to get behind this team. Let me register a supporters club, stream the games for us. We'll get people together to do this. So the thing is, we're in this unique position, Pomp, in that we have this crazy army of Bitcoiners who get behind anything that's Bitcoin. So the examples, I'll give you two examples. Prior to Michael Saylor, you know, doing his Bitcoin thing, no one really knew who MicroStrategy was. No one really knew who Michael Saylor was. Now every CEO in America knows who Michael Saylor is. Everyone knows their strategy. El Salvador, before Bukele did what he did, nobody would be able to name the president of El Salvador and probably couldn't even point to on a map. Now everyone knows who he is. This is exactly the same. We are the MicroStrategy. We are the El Salvador of sports.
And my other question would be, like, I know these clubs are, they're entrenched within the communities, right? Like, people care about it a lot. Yeah. See, people are sensitive to it. What's the reaction been from people? Are they, like, super happy that this is happening? Are they upset? Did they think you're messing around? Like, what have people said to you?
Everyone involved with the club that I'm buying loves it and gets behind it. They think it's great. Every one of our neighbors, well, not everyone, but our neighbors, Bedford Town, they're not happy. A lot of people in football hate it because I'm trying to do things a little bit different, right? I'm naming them Real Bedford, like Real Madrid, just because I think it's funny. And I've made the logo a skull just because, you know, I've got a skull on my hat. I think skulls are cool. Like, I'm just, there's an American tinge to the brand because I'm aware of where the audience is. You know, there is a local audience, but there is an international audience. But I've been saying to these people, look, just think about this for a second. This is a club that ran on £15,000. I've already closed £500,000 of sponsorship. I'm probably going to do $1.5 million in revenue. I can't spend that on the team. But what I can do, because there's nowhere spending all that money. You know, the most I'll spend is maybe $100,000. So what can I do? I can start a women's team. I can start a reserves team. I can start youth teams. And I can build up grassroots football in Bedford. Yeah, I can create economic opportunity and support grassroots football in Bedford. Like, why would you hate this? What, because you don't like our badge? Or because you think we've got an American audience? It's just bullshit. Like, oh, sorry, yeah. And swear, but this is an opportunity, you know, to support my town and to create opportunity for the people who live here. So, you know, I really don't care if people get upset by it.
John, what questions you got?
Peter, so I was just curious about, like, when you came in and you're like, cool, we're going on Bitcoin Standard, I'm the new owner. What was, one, people's responses, and two, if someone didn't want to do that, are you still giving them the option for the pound or to get paid in whatever currency? Or is it like, hey, you have to get paid in Bitcoin? You can convert it if you want, but you are getting paid in Bitcoin.
No, so that's a really good question. Like, I am not forcing the Bitcoin thing down to people's throat. One of the interesting things that's come out of this is it's made me again aware of how big the jump is from hearing about Bitcoin to understanding it. Because there's a lot of people who've basically lumped us in with the DAO people, the crypto bros, the NFT people. We're not that. The Bitcoin Standard is how I choose. It's the financial model I choose to run the club on. But nobody is forced to be paid in Bitcoin. Nobody is forced to accept Bitcoin. You don't have to pay in Bitcoin when you're in our club. That's all optional. We are a club that allows you to be paid or get paid in the pound or Bitcoin. We're not forcing it down anyone's throat. The Bitcoin Standard for us is how we manage our treasury and how we manage our finances. And that's us.
So I got a couple questions. First, Green Street, the Green Street Hooligans, is that really how it is?
That's how it used to be. I mean, it still exists, but they cut out. I mean, if you go to a Tottenham West Ham game, it'll kick off. That's how it used to be. That film's a bit shit. If you want to see some hooligan films, there's some better ones than that.
Which is the best one?
Oh, what's that one called? Hold on, let me look it up.
All right, while you're looking it up, second question. Are the chairmen allowed to drink at the games, or do you have to stay sober?
You can drink.
All right.
ID. ID is the one you want to watch. ID or Football Factory.
All right, so I'm going to go home and watch that tonight. Third question for you is, can you recruit players from outside of Bedford, or when you're in the lower levels, can you only get people from inside of the town?
No, you can get them from anywhere.
All right. And then is this like recruiting kind of like college football here in America, where they like you go and you visit them at their home and you try to convince them to come play for you and they can pick from any team? Or is it pretty much like people come and try out and then you just pick the best ones?
A bit of both, but basically you the managers usually know the players you want, so you have to do something called a 7-day approach where you write to them, say who you want to speak to, and then you just have to make them an offer. But no, it's not like what tends to happen in UK football when you think of the higher leagues is the players start playing in the youth setups. They might be at 10-12 years old and they work their way through the academies. Some eventually make it to the first team. Others get let go and go down the leagues.
All right, perfect. That's exactly the answer I wanted to hear. I have a proposition for you. Can I be head recruiter? Like, I'll FaceTime the people and be like, listen, you really got to go play for real Bedford so that when you get to the EPL, I can say that it's because of me?
No.
All right. Walk us through the merchandise strategy in terms of you guys have this merchandise coming out in January, I think it is. What is so special about doing it for you guys, given how the team may have done it previously or other teams at the level 10?
So, I mean, our team doesn't really sell merch because they're so small. But even next door, Bedford Town, you know, they do really well. But they'll maybe sell 300 shirts a season. I mean, you think of these Bitcoiners, I'd be surprised if I sell less than 3,000. And yeah, if I can sell 10,000, every 10,000 shirts I sell, I make about £300,000 profit. Then on top of that, you've got T-shirts, you've got flags, you've got mugs. So I would hope I could do 500,000 in revenue to the Bitcoiners. That might be ambitious, but that's the target. But, you know, if you take sponsorships, if you take memberships, you take live streaming, you take shirt sales, you know, that could support the club in these early days while we don't really have gate receipts, you know, where we've only got maybe 50 people coming to a game. But as we go through the leagues, 50 might become 500, might become 1,000, and then you can rely on the match day revenues as well.
How much are the T-shirts going to be sold for?
So I think that the jerseys, the like what you call the jerseys, we call the shirt, I think it's going to be somewhere between £50 and £60, unless you live in Bedford. If you live in Bedford, we're going to do it like £30, £35.
All right, so £50 or £60, how much is that in U.S.?
$70, $80.
$70 or $80? Jesus Christ. All right, I'll make you a deal. I was gonna buy a lot more, but you got expensive prices over there. I'll buy what did he say? 80? I'll buy whatever $1,000 worth of jerseys are. Whatever, I'm not a public mathematician. $1,000 worth, I'll buy them, you ship them to me, and then we'll give them to the guests when they come into the studio. We'll give them each one under the condition that they tweet out and they say, I'm only a real Bedford FC fan because Pomp made me.
Whatever, man. Can we get Schiff in one?
Of course. He sits and hangs out in Puerto Rico. The guy looks like he's still in his 30s. He's got a tan, slick back hair. He obviously needs a jersey.
Man, let's do it. As long as you got to wear one on the show as well.
Of course. Easy. All done.
Peter, so going to using Bitcoin as a unit of exchange and a unit of account, how do you think about if you would ever price something in the merchandise store in sats, for example, to let people pay in that unit?
Look, we'll let people pay in whatever currency they want, whether it's dollars, pounds, or Bitcoin. We want no shit coins, but any of those. But everything will be priced in fiat. Like the pound is our unit of account running the business. But we will hold Bitcoin in our treasury long term. But you can't use Bitcoin as a unit of account at the moment. You can't run a business like that. Not something like this. It's too volatile. But we will allow. You know, I'm talking to one of the payment processors now about managing all our Bitcoin transactions for our merchandise.
Gotcha. Peter, have you seen the show Ted Lasso?
Of course, man. Have you not seen my name on Twitter?
No, but is this what it's going to be like? Are you hiring an American football coach?
No.
What about a college one?
No.
Are you going to, is the manager in trouble? Like, is his job on the line here if he doesn't win?
I mean, at the end of the season, yeah. I mean, yeah, the remit every year is promotion, and every manager will be given a budget that should enable promotion. So if they don't get promotion, yeah, they're in trouble.
Okay, but this is not real life Ted Lasso, just to confirm.
It's not real life Ted Lasso. This is serious for me. And like, we have a lot of fun as well, but like, this is serious for me. Like, I live in a town of 174,000 people, Pomp, and there's two towns with Premier League teams who've got a smaller population than us. And we have teams in the 8th and 10th tier. We should have at least a team in the 4th tier, and we've never had it. We've never had a Football League club. So, like, this is a big deal for me. I've been telling my dad since I was 14 I'm going to do this, and now suddenly I'm in a position to try it, which is amazing. But yeah, we're going to do this, man.
What did you do? Usually when a billionaire comes on the podcast, I ask him, like, what'd you do the second that you found out you're a billionaire? And Mark Cuban told me he got naked and did a happy dance, put his clothes back on and went back to work. What did you do when you realized you were going to get the team?
Oh, God, that's a good question.
I mean, if you listen to my podcast, you not only ask good questions.
I mean, I don't really use your show as inspiration for how to run a podcast. I don't know if you really do have the best questions. I think you have the second best questions. I think Lily has the best question. How good is Lily?
She is good. Boy, hold on. Answer my question. See, this is you obfuscating.
You know what? I don't remember what I did. I can't remember. Nothing special. I think that the better question will be when we get promoted. What did I do?
What will you do?
I'm just going to get really fucking drunk. Well, I will tell you.
So when is the next chance to get promoted?
Let me tell you. Well, so it's this season. So, I mean, we are outside of the playoffs. So I've given the managers a budget to try and get playoffs. If we don't make it, so be it. Like, the way I think about it, it's a bonus. We start next season in terms of, like, the manager has to get us promoted. If they don't get us promoted this season, you know, we took COVID halfway through. We haven't had a chance to sign players. Let me tell you something that's super interesting, Pop, though, that's happened because of this. The wait between games is painfully slow. Like, all I'm thinking about, and I've never even had this with the teams I support, all I'm thinking about right now is, okay, we've got a game on the third. I want that now. Like, I cannot think about anything else. I'm working on this, like, 16 hours a day.
And when you're working on it for 16 hours a day, what are you doing? Like, are you spending time with the managers? Like, what are you doing?
No, I'm...
God, I fucking love you. For those who are only listening, he just poured what appears to be red wine into a water drinking glass cup and is now sipping it. Go ahead.
I've set up the website. I'm registering people for the International Supports Club. I'm working with the designers on the merch. I'm trying to find a merch manufacturer. I am, you know, liaising with the management on budgets. I am working on legal. I'm trying to appoint a financial director. I'm winding people up on Twitter. Like, this, a fucking endless list of things to get done. Like, if I should, I'd have to show you sometime. Like, I'll come tell you the whole story in person one day, but there's just so much to do in running a football club. And, you know, I want to breed this absolute culture of professionalism, like absolute professionalism through it. But I need to get a team around me, right? They don't have a team because they don't have a budget.
Yeah. But now that you have a budget, you can go ahead and you can actually execute.
Yeah, and so I've got a financial director lined up. I've got a chief exec lined up. I've got a vice chair lined up. I've got an operations person lined up. Like, I've got a team lined up. And we're going to run it like an absolutely slick professional operation because it needs to be a successful business. You know, to have the budgets, to buy the best players, to sign the best managers, you need to have the budget. And I want every season for the next six seasons, I want to target a 20% higher budget than any team in our division.
The only thing that you didn't mention that you need in there is you need some American co-owners. And I know three guys who you might be able to convince to do that. So send me the pitch deck, get on my schedule and we'll talk.
Dude, we'll do it. I mean, I'll be back over in, when am I going to be over? Beginning of Feb, I'll come and see you.
All right.
We'll talk.
Yeah, no, I don't want to wait till February because I don't want you to start winning games and think you guys are good. I want you when you first buy them and being like, oh, man, we need a lot of help. Yeah, if you start winning games and you think you're going to get promoted, then all of a sudden the price goes up. I don't want that.
You know what I want to do is get a friendly against Inter Miami.
What?
Inter Miami, the team.
Oh, yeah. I got a better idea. I saw someone in the chat say that we should set up like an exhibition match.
That's what a friendly is.
With the El Salvador national team.
Dude, I tweeted
and we should
that
do it in Miami. We should bring El Salvador's national team. We should bring real Bedford FC, play it in Miami. Don't call me a marketing genius, but if that happens, I want to do the opening kick. I want to do the, like the ceremonial kick. I'll be on midfield.
Bukele.
Yeah,
get on the horn.
Me and Bukele can do a shootout to see who's who gets to do the opening kick.
No, so I tweeted at Bukele. I said, "Let's. I want to play. I want Bedford to go to El Salvador and play in the El Salvador National Stadium against the South Salvador team, and we should call it the Volcano Cup."
That's great.
All right, that's pretty good. That might be better than the Miami thing.
Yeah, the Volcano Cup. You only wanted to be in Miami because you're a lazy fucker. You didn't come out for
That's exactly why I wanted to be in Miami.
Play here.
Why?
Play right down the street from me. I don't care if everyone else has to travel.
If we're going to go ahead and just pick destinations and I'm in charge, like down the street, we got a stadium. Like, let's just go there.
Yeah, man. Well, I, you know what? I think this is a big thing for Bitcoin. Like, we make all these jokes. I really think this is a good thing for Bitcoin. I think we can really communicate the benefits of, you know, sound money and why sports teams should consider it. The thing is, I think it's different in the US. US sports is set up a lot better structurally than UK sports in some ways, or football. So many of these teams are going bust, man. Like Derby County are trying to find a new owner. Yeah, I think they've just been deducted 9 points. Reading have been deducted points. These clubs are always losing money and failing. And we can actually create something here that's not built on debt, that's built on capital accumulation because we run a Bitcoin standard. And by the time we've done this, like, you know, give this 4 or 5 years when we're kicking ass, we've got this growing treasury, everyone's going to be like, what happened there? How did this happen? Now we were like, we fucking told you. I told you this is what we were going to do.
I think this is going to work. I hate saying that with him here to listen, but I actually think this is going to work. And the key to the whole thing, like the balance sheet, all that is very powerful, as we know, but it's actually tapping into the global audience. When you tap into the global audience, it's such an advantage, because also what it does is it helps. Like, players care about money, obviously, right? So if you have more money to pay them, then they're interested.
Notoriety.
But there's something about, like, basically, if you come play for our team and you're good, you're going to be famous globally. There's something powerful about using that as a way to recruit players.
But Pomp, to do this, like, I need everyone else to help. Like, I need your help. I need your brother's help. I need all the people in Bitcoin to get behind this and help this, because I can't do it on my own. Like, if the Bitcoiners get behind this, like they've got behind El Salvador and got behind MicroStrategy, we will crush this, you know? And so somehow I've got to find a way of keeping this interesting for, you know, not just a year, for like 10 years. People have got to get behind this and keep supporting this. But I think I can do it. I think the Bitcoiners would love to get behind like a team from the bottom. I'll tell you another interesting thing. Joe will appreciate this. A lot of people have said to me, why didn't you just go and buy like a already established, you know, championship club, yada, yada, if you want to raise 50 million. I think the thing is, you couldn't mold that. You couldn't mold that. This is something we can mold into like the image of what we want to represent. So I think we can do this. I think this will work, man.
All right. Do you know the story of Deion Sanders here in the U.S.? Do you know who that is?
No, tell me.
So Deion Sanders is by far the best cornerback of all time. Maybe one of the greatest athletes of all time. Guy's a legend. I think he played, was it the Super Bowl and also in a World baseball
Series.
Game?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played in the World Series.
And a regular season.
It was a regular season.
Yeah. Not the Super Bowl. Yeah. But
He played in a World Series baseball game and a regular season NFL game in the same day, right? The guy's a legend. And he literally a legend, right? And he did it with flair, right? He had gold chains. He's the guy who said, what'd he say? If you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. If you play good, you get paid good. So like that gives you a sense for who he is. He recently took over as the head coach of Jackson State, which is a HBCU, kind of lesser known school in the grand scheme of college football in the United States. And they're able to recruit players, but nowhere near the top high school athletes. The top high school athletes go to Alabama or Florida, Florida State, Texas, etc. And he was able to convince, I think it's the number one or number two player in the entire country, to come play at his school rather than go to Florida State where he was committed. And part of it was simply just, if you want to be great, going to play for Deion Sanders is probably a pretty good idea. And it doesn't matter what school he's at, but he's also made the team cool. He's got, you know, a bunch of content being produced around it. He's selling out stadiums and doing all this stuff. And it gives me the same exact vibes of what you're doing, which is when you take over and you kind of breathe life or energy into a team and you make it this like magnet for a talent, whether it's kind of in the front office or on the field, then naturally more and more people want to do it. But I think the key thing you got to do is you got to get one of the top players in the world to come play. Even if it's lower, if you can get one person where the whole football world's like, wait, what? That player went to Bedford? I think that that accelerates you like 5 years because it's just the notoriety of doing it.
Well, that's that. Yeah, but that's why I think I want to, that's why I want to raise 50 million for the exact same reason, because people are going, wait, what? They're in the 10th tier. You know, Ryan Reynolds just bought Wrexham and he's injected $2 million into their club. They're an established, known club. And that seemed like a big investment. You know, I want to turn around to Ryan Reynolds and laugh him and go, mate, that's an investment for Ants. We've just raised $50 million. People won't understand it. They will not understand what's happening, why we're doing it. They'll be like, what do you mean you've raised $50 million? What do you mean you put it into Bitcoin? It's just be like, you just wait and see. Well, come see me.
So part of what Ryan Reynolds is doing is they're going to go out and they're going to sell the media rights to it, right? Where they're going to do a documentary and all this stuff. Would you do something like that or no?
No, I want to do something like that. I mean, the shit I could tell you that's happened in this last week alone is hilarious.
Well, let's go. You got a drink. I got some water. What are we waiting for?
You know what? There's stuff I can't talk about. I'll tell you another time when we're in person, but like, I wish we'd had cameras to film it but the other thing about it is like Ryan Reynolds thing is like, it's really transparent. It's like an American guy pretending he cares about this team, injecting $2 million, which is probably, he probably got from Netflix to go and do it. You know, it's like so transparent. And I think people are over that, a lot of that stuff. I think people want authenticity. It's why your show crushes. That's why my show crushes more, is that people want authenticity. And with this, I am from Bedford. Like, this is, I've lived here my whole life. It is a shit town in England, and I can do something good for it. I think we can tell a much more interesting, authentic story about this. So, yeah, I'd love to. I've got a director. We've spoken about it, and we're thinking about starting filming from, you know, 3rd of January and seeing what we can collect. But I think there's a definite story in this.
Joe, what do you put the odds on that he could do this? Don't be
nice to the Premier League.
Yeah. Nice to him. Cause he's here. What do you think the odds are that he can go from level 10 to level one?
If someone was making real odds, it would be minuscule. They're
one out of 100
more. Way.
One out of a million.
Yeah. Way. No, it's really like people don't understand. It's really, really hard. Like a lot of people would do this if it was easy. Right. So it's obviously difficult, but I will say his approach is obviously different. In the same regard, right? No one has done it from a Bitcoin standard perspective. No one has had the global appeal for a small club. No one has been able to increase the budget like this very quickly over a certain number of years. So I think, like Peter, I imagine you're pretty confident that you'll be able to get a few tiers higher within the first few years. And then it's all about like, what can you do from there, right? Once you get within those, you know, second, third, fourth leagues, like what happens, right? Anything can happen.
Yeah, we've got this one advantage. That's a massive advantage. Any of these local teams, their catchment area of generating revenue is 5-10 miles from where their stadium is. It's like, who lives locally is going to come to a game, buy a burger, and buy a shirt, and maybe which local companies are going to sponsor them. And that's why, like, you know, Bedford Town, who are two tiers above us, I think their entire revenue, and bear in mind they get 600-700 people a game, is probably like 150,000 a year. Like, I've sold 500,000 in sponsorships in a week alone, right? So we have this massive advantage in that there's this army, like I said before, an army of Bitcoiners worldwide who will get behind this. They will want this to work, okay? And that means we've got this army of Bitcoin companies who are incentivized for this to work. So we've got this one thing that nobody else can do. We've got this audience who are absolutely programmed into our story and want to become part of it and support it. Hence why, you know, we've got thousands of people already following Twitter, why we've got, you know, all these people want to set up these international supporters club. If we can make the story work and keep telling it, then I absolutely think we've got a chance of doing this. And no one will understand it. No one will get it when it happens.
It would be one of the greatest sports stories of all time, I feel like. If, what's he saying? He went on mute.
What'd he say?
It'll be the best. it'll be the best.
Yeah, it would be the best sports story of all time if you were able to take a club from the 10th league to the first league.
Oh, I think he can do this. I have no doubt that this is going to happen. What is today's date? Today is December 28, 2021. And just for the record, Pomp believes, that's me, I believe that my idiotic friend, Peter McCormick, who I love dearly, is literally going to take a team from his hometown and bring it to the English Premier League. And when he does it, I hope that he literally goes on Twitter and just posts 9 million laughing emoji faces and says, haters, you lost. Like, that's my dream for you, man. Is because I'm assuming if this happens, is it only one promotion per year? So, like, to get there, it's going to take a decade?
It's nine promotions. So, but like, I said, I think
that's unrealistic. Can you jump multiple levels at one time?
No. It's one a year, and you've got to stick to the hierarchy. The quickest you could do it would be nine seasons. If you did that, no one would understand it. Like, a billionaire could do, I put it this way, Pomp, a billionaire could do this. If you were a billionaire, you could do this. You could every year buy the team that gets you up. And maybe 1 year you'll have an off year. You know, 2 years you'll have an off year. But you will eventually get there if you have enough money. So just got to rally the Bitcoin bidding. And the other good thing about this is, as time goes on, all the Bitcoiners get richer. They're going to become even more wealthy and have more money to put into this.
That was Peter's way of telling us he's a billionaire. It's all right. It's okay. We don't hate all billionaires, just the fiat ones.
I don't even hate the fiat ones.
You don't hate
I love all billionaires. Tell me how you did it.
All right. Where can we send people to either follow you guys online? Like, what would be the most valuable thing people can do right now to help you guys?
Just like follow us. Go to the website, rel.com. Go to Twitter, which is /RelBedford. Instagram, /RelBedford. Just get behind it, support it, keep following, keep supporting this. That's what you can do, man. And listen, let me come on your show every few months and tell you, give you an update.
All right, hold on. We got two more questions. Peter. Go back here. Let's go to this Twitter account.
No NFTs, no ICO, no DAO, no fan tokens. Bitcoin standard.
Why do you have that in the Twitter account, Peter?
Yeah, I'll tell you why I've got that. Because there are these crypto bros who are talking about buying sports teams and a lot of sports stuff. Yeah, FTX is sponsoring a stadium, crypto.com is sponsoring a stadium, and a lot of it is like crypto bros. Other people who tried to go to England called Bradford, and they were talking about NFTs and all this stuff. And I it's not to me a sustainable model, and it's short term interest. This is me as a Bedfordian loving Bedford, wanting to do this for Bedford. So this is me saying, like, this isn't about selling NFTs to make this work or selling fan tokens to make this work. We haven't got to sell shit to anyone. We've got to run a commercially viable business which we choose to operate on a Bitcoin standard. I really want to separate myself from all the crypto bros and all that crypto bullshit, and because there's a lot of doubt that comes with that. There's a lot of people who just think this is like a scam or way to enrich yourselves, and it isn't. I'm not going to make a penny from this. I don't need to make a penny from this. I don't need to be paid. We operate on a Bitcoin standard, so we have a healthy treasury because we're operating on a low time preference. We are not selling NFTs of players. We're not doing a fan token or any of that bollocks. It's not us.
All right. Then my last question. What do your kids think about this? Do they think you're crazy?
So my son, this is so sweet. So at Christmas, he didn't know what to get me. And I've been telling my kids, like, as long as they can remember, I've been telling them, one day I'm going to buy Bedford, I'm going to do this. And he got me this. He got me a mouse mat. How cute is this?
Boyhood dream of a home. Oh, that's sick.
Boyhood dream of a hometown club to the Premier League.
That's awesome.
And you get to see that every day.
Yeah, I put it above my desk when I'm working and thinking how I'm going to crush you.
Damn. You're that's telling awesome. Me that your kids believe in this more than you believe in this?
No, they believe in it the same. My daughter has been to every game with me. She doesn't give a shit about football. She's into it.
Your son, he's not into it?
No, he was there as well today.
I'm joking. All right. Everyone, please go follow them on Twitter. Don't follow Peter on Twitter. Follow the team on Twitter. And then also the website. Let's make sure that we get people over to the website as well. And when you get there, right now they don't have the merch available yet. I'm going to buy $1,000 worth of the jerseys. We'll have them here in the studio. We'll give them out to people. And then you should go buy the merch as well once that's available. When is that going to be available?
January. Hopefully in January.
All right. Easy. January. You two geniuses have anything else to say to the billionaire owner of Real Bedford FC?
What is the season timeline-wise in the year?
So the season runs till about May. Then we have off-season, and then we start again about August.
All right. May might be tough, but August sounds like I should come out there for a game.
Yeah, we should come out for a game.
First game next season.
Why is May tough?
No, August. We'll do August. First game next season.
Well, no, if we get final, come out for the playoff final, and if not, come to the first game of next season.
Okay. If you get to the final, I'll show up. I'll fly people there. How many people come to the game right now?
Depends. Anything from 20 to 80.
Oh, we could get those numbers up. We'll get I'll bring my 17. I'll bring my 17 brothers, and we'll double the audience. It's perfect. We'll be ready to go.
Do it. Thanks, Pomp. Thanks for having me on this. And thanks, Joe. What's the other one's name?
John. You're the only...
I'm not coming to the game no more.
Peter, we were saying when you dropped off, you're the only person that we've ever had on this show that showed up drinking pina coladas with no internet and the sun shining behind their head. We couldn't see the first time. Now you're showing up and driving in the dark in your car with your daughter holding your phone. So maybe next time we're going to work. We're going to get you like a real podcast studio. We're going to get you a microphone. We're going to get you all hooked up with all the goods so that when you do these, you know, if you're going to be a billionaire owner of Real Bedford FC, then we need you to look like a billionaire owner of a football team.
No, I don't want to look like a degenerate Bedford.
I can't wait for this to work. This is going to be amazing. All right, buddy. Thank you so much for coming.
I love you loads, man.
Later.
Bye. Thanks, Peter.